Officially the biggest market share commercial radio show on the dial. The Frank Mitchell Phone-In. Monday to Friday, 9 until noon on U105.
It's hard to believe it's a year since marriage equality in the Republic.
I know, a year on and the sky didn't fall in. Who would ever have guessed? Those, of course, were sort of predictions that someone on the no side were suggesting in advance of the big vote this time last year. But actually what happened is that people danced in the streets with joy that they, it's like they had voted for the creation of a new sense of what Ireland, or at least the Republic of Ireland, should be. It should be an inclusive Ireland full of sort of equality and love. And that's what we've seen since. We've seen over 400 happy couples be able to tie the knot, surrounded by their family and friends. The net result, more happiness, more joy, more families, more happy married couples. That's it.
Yeah, Patrick, let me remind people just how it was reported internationally last year.
No one can call Ireland a conservative country now. This is the moment it became official. The counting complete, confirmation the Irish people had decisively voted to include same-sex marriages in their constitution. It came at the end of a long, emotional day. The square at Dublin Castle filled hours before with people who already knew their country had changed profoundly. The No campaign had conceded quickly, not long after the count started, because the earliest results pointed to a big voter turnout and a powerful call to treat gay couples equally under the law. So much happiness, so many tears. The much-feared hordes of shy no voters that might have blocked this turned out to be a myth, and Ireland proved its world-famous reluctance for embracing social change is now history. Phil Black, CNN, Dublin.
So that's how CNN obviously reported it. Some of the more tongue-in-cheek American stations had a bit of a pop at it as well. They made a few points. Here's some of the alternative coverage.
This is the moment same-sex supporters in Ireland knew they'd made history. Irish voters said a resounding yes to gay marriage by a margin of 2-1.
That is the most. That's right. The Irish vote was widely celebrated with one depressingly predictable voice of dissent.
A sharp rejection today of Ireland's historic same-sex marriage vote from the Catholic Church. The Vatican Secretary of State called the result a, quote, defeat for humanity.
The programme then goes on to crack jokes about the Catholic Church and also about people who would have been part of the No campaign. And that's not what we're about on this show. However, it's a very relevant argument that they make, Patrick, for here, isn't it? Because the Catholic Church and the biggest political party, the DUP, are very much hand in hand on this one.
Yeah, it's sort of this weird, unholy alliance, perhaps. But I think it's interesting if we look at the Catholic / nationalist Republican side of the community. The bishops are saying one thing, and they're sending out their letters from the pulpits. But actually, the normal sort of church-going or non-church-going sort of Catholic community doesn't seem particularly interested in listening anymore. I mean, that's just a phenomenon, and it's clear in terms of the political parties that have traditionally represented that side of the community, SDLP, Sinn Féin, that they're not at all following the direction of the bishops. And I think they're doing so with the overwhelming support of ordinary sort of Catholic or nationalist voters. I don't want to get into sort of a sectarian dissection of this, because actually the opinion polling shows that a very big majority on all sides, on both sides of the main traditional divide in Northern Ireland, as well as those who identify themselves as others who don't fall into the traditional orange or green Catholic Protestant camps. Everybody, whatever way you cut the data, is in favour of marriage equality. Yet we still do, as you point out, we still do have our largest political party, the DUP, saying no. And I feel like, to an extent, that's absolutely fine and fair. However, the problem becomes when they actually use the petition of concern to block the will of the people and to block the will of the Assembly. We know from our own sort of discussions with the candidates in advance of the election that we now have at least 58 of the 108 MLAs just newly elected to the Assembly are publicly in favour of same-sex marriage, of changing the law here. We actually know there's a few who are privately in favour of it as well, but haven't been able to vote yes to date. So we have that majority among the people, a very significant majority, 68% according to the key poll that was done. We now have a clear majority in the Assembly as well. It should only be a matter of time, a case of when, not if. But that, of course, does boil down to the DUP refraining from using that veto power, the petition of concern, to block the will of the people, to block the will of the Assembly. And we call upon them to do so, to no longer stand in the way of the march of equality in Northern Ireland.
But they have a significant mandate, the DUP, and people who voted for them obviously are against marriage equality.
Well, of course, they have a significant mandate. However, the opinion polling that was done last year by Ipsos Mori, they actually broke down the data by people's political party affiliation, like what party people normally voted for. And a really interesting phenomenon is if you actually look at DUP voters, they were actually split 50-50. So half of the DUP voters polled said they opposed marriage equality, but half were in favour. So even among DUP voters, there is not really a majority against marriage equality. And if you look at every other party, there's a clear majority for. So I think that we would ask the DUP to reflect on their position. And when this next comes to the Assembly, to not use the petition of concern, vote against it if they must. But we actually know some DUP MLAs privately have advised us that they're in favour. So we would say allow a free vote and don't use the petition of concern, and then respect the will of the Assembly, reflecting the will of the people.
Would you almost make it sound in your argument, Patrick, that the view of a devout Catholic doesn't matter in this?
No, of course, every individual view matters equally. I suppose that's all that we're saying, that there should be respect for where this society is. And I think this society, as with the Republic of Ireland, in decades past, I think it probably was fair to say, was a more conservative, more religious type place than most parts of perhaps of the rest of these islands or the rest of Europe. I don't think that's any longer the case. And whether you look at equal marriage or you look at a whole host of other social issues, there is still a significant minority against change, but actually there's a very clear majority in favour of change. So of course, anybody that holds strong religious views, absolutely entitled not only to hold those views, but to express them on the airwaves or through the ballot box or whichever way they wish. I'm just saying that they no longer hold sway as the bulk of society here. And certainly when it comes to fundamental human rights, like the right to be treated as an equal, the right not to be discriminated against on the basis of your sexual orientation, then those views shouldn't be allowed to block the march of equality. It's a very simple message. And I think, again, if we look at the example of the Republic 1 year on, what has happened? Well, number one, as your clip showed earlier, the Republic of Ireland really was shown throughout the world in such a positive light. The obverse, the converse is also true. When people look at Northern Ireland now, they see this blot on the map almost of where has equal marriage in these islands and where it doesn't. And we're this strange anomaly, not because that's what the people want, but it's because a minority of our politicians have chosen to block change.
Okay, Patrick Corrigan from Amnesty International, thank you. We'll speak to Gemma, who's in this line. Gemma, good morning.
Good morning,
Patrick. Gemma, you're hoping to get married, but you feel disadvantaged in Northern Ireland.
Yeah, I mean, even just listening to the conversation you were having there, it's kind of surreal to hear actually people talking about me in a separate way, because separate isn't equal. And I think there's a lot of misinformation being pushed out there, a lot of scaremongering about what actually it is that our community wants. It is to be seen equal. It is to have the same rights in marriage. It's not about forcing ourselves into a church and forcing people that do not believe in same-sex marriage to have to do it. I want to marry my partner and we plan to have children, and I just want my child to come into a society where they're not fighting for their rights, they're not questioning who their parents are, they are loved, they are looked after, and that is the priority. And I really can't see where the petition of concern is even being validated or allowed to be used. It's completely out of context. So for me, it's heartbreaking, really, because it's basically Northern Ireland allowing me to be treated differently. I pay my taxes. I pay those people to represent me. I work hard. I help in my community. I have a mortgage. I do all the dull stuff that everybody else does. I just want to get on with my life and not feel like there's just that little bit that isn't being accepted of me.
You know that people will phone and people do hold an opinion here in Northern Ireland. Mm-hmm. On the back of what you said about having children, that having children is something between a man and a woman. What do you say to those who make that argument?
It's 2016 and the nuclear family is no longer the norm. We have single parents. We have fantastic dads that bring up their children on their own. We have amazing mums that bring up their children. It's a very norm at the school gates now. I want to bring my child where I will have to fight to have my child. I will have to carefully consider and work hard to even get to the stage where the possibility of a child is happening for me. And that is something me and my partner will have to do together. We will do nothing but give unconditional love. My child will not be indoctrined into anything or brainwashed. My child will be brought up to be accepting of others and to respect others' views. And that includes religious views, because I have a lot of respect for those with a religious belief. And I think it's unfair to say that all DUP will vote, that people that vote for DUP, sorry, are against same-sex marriage, because I have a lot of friends that have unfortunately voted tactically. So what I think the issue is here is education. People don't actually understand what they're saying no to. People need to go, like they did down south, door to door, and actually talk one-on-one with people and say, do you actually understand that what is in your head or what you're being told may not necessarily be what you think is happening?
Do you get a sense that the church is still too strong on it, and not just the Catholic Church, but church teaching in general is still too strong on it in Northern Ireland?
Well, yeah, I mean, the thing is that, I mean, personally for me, I only speak for myself, I don't even think, you know, we should be discussing about votes and referendum. It's an inequality law here. It's a breach of human rights. That's it. It needs fixed. But even at that level, churches are completely entitled to preach what they want to. Everyone is entitled to their belief, but don't impose my life with your own belief. That's just not fair. I don't go into churches and start screaming. I am not allowed to go outside City Hall or outside Victoria Square with a poster campaign. We don't go out recruiting. We don't go out scaremongering people, asking people to sign things, putting leaflets into people's hands. We don't need to do that. We just want to live our life. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's sad. But I think that people at the bottom of it all are, in Northern Ireland, generally for marriage equality. In fact, I mean, I've yet to meet someone that says that they aren't.
And finally,
so I just say educate yourself.
Yeah, Jim, just for one final point. You said earlier it's heartbreaking. Is it heartbreaking for you and your partner because the Republic of Ireland led the way when they weren't expected to lead the way, or they would have been seen as not being as progressive as they showed themselves to be? Is it heartbreaking because you're caught here in Northern Ireland when everything is different across the water and down south?
It's heartbreaking because I genuinely love my partner. And what this says is, that's okay, just don't do it too loudly, don't do it too publicly. Or it's just a little bit different. And if anyone could see us together and how strong we are and how much we've been through together, they would never, ever question that I deserve equal marriage with this woman.
Gemma, thanks for coming on the programme. Thank you.
Thank you.
Get involved with the Frank Mitchell phone-in. Call us on 90 333 105. Text us on 077 66 105 105. Find us on Facebook and Twitter. And if you've missed any of our interviews, go to u105.com/catch-up.